Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's pray before we read the scriptures, shall we? Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, this is your word. We're your people. Speak and help us. Encourage us. You know, the week that some of us have had, you know how hard it is to just slow down and listen for me and for all of us. Be here. You're our welcomed guest. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm picking it up in the middle of 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning at verse 10, Paul is talking about the day of the Lord. That's when the Lord's going to return and take it all over and the world is going to be changed. It says in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live a holy and godly life. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of things of these matters. These letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Really, I can't believe Peter's saying that. I find Peter more difficult to understand than Paul sometimes. But anyhow, that's Peter. That's his thing. Which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures. Do you see what Peter called the writings of Paul? Scripture. Do you see that? I thought that was pretty neat that he says that. They distort them to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I grew up with a bunch of old people in my family. And it seemed that all they talked about was heaven. My grandma, sweet Elizabeth, she had to put up with my grandfather, Herbert Talmadge, H.T. They also called him Shorty. I told you, the towering 4'11½". If he drove a car, and he never did his whole life, but if he drove a car, it would have been a Lincoln about four blocks long, that little man syndrome. She had a tough life. And in the midst of the struggles of her life, what gave her hope was heaven, was the future that God had promised. It was an amazing thing to watch it all happen. A lot of us who are older, our parents, they lived through the Depression. And it wasn't a state of mind. It was a physical reality, the Great Depression, and what they went through and the times in that world. And we think that now our times are so awful and they're not easy. But boy, they were tough back in the 1930s. The folks lived through it, and the believers clung to God's promises about heaven. In fact, they used to sing this old song. It goes like this. In fact, the first time I heard this was at my grandpa's funeral. I wasn't a believer yet, but it touched me. It goes like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They had this vision of beyond this life. And it was that vision that gave them strength to live this life. Nowadays, the church has kind of changed its vision to social action. And by the way, you know, being socially active, that's what the freeing of the slaves was all about, by those believers that in great numbers are the ones that brought about the abolition of slavery in both America and England. It was believers in Jesus that brought about the civil rights movement in the 60s. The church was out in front of that. Dr. Graham working closely with Dr. King on all those issues. I mean, those things are important, but our focus has to be something else. Our focus has to be on what God has promised, the future. Now, nothing else works. You're looking for motivation to live your life. You're not going to have the motivation to live your life and to do the right thing unless you're focused on what God has promised. Guilt doesn't work. If you're a Catholic or a fundamentalist Baptist, you know that doesn't work. They can guilt you all they want. For some reason, my heart doesn't change. Have you been there? I've been there. It doesn't work. That guilt stuff doesn't work. You can be manipulated by fear. And sometimes you've heard preachers that tried to manipulate people with fear. That doesn't last either. We can try to manipulate people with bribery. You know, there's that whole teaching out there. Now, listen, here's the plan. If you do this, God will do this for you, right? If you give this much to the church, God will give 100-fold back to you. And so people, through feeling being bribed, oh, I'll give 10 bucks. God's going to give me 100 back. You know, I mean, all this just goes on and on. None of that works. None of it changes anybody's life. None of it is a motivation to live by. There's really only one. It's the grace of God. Only hope. And when we talk about hope, we're not talking about, well, I hope this happens. The word in the Bible for hope is a confidence that God's going to keep his word. He has promised. And the God who cannot lie is going to bring this all to fruition. It's all going to happen. And in this writing of Peter, he talks about the end of this present world. Do you know this world is moving toward its conclusion? It is. This is a broken, messed up place. It's moving toward its end. The Bible tells us that God, he who began a good work in you, will carry it on unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. There it is, the day. You know, we're all moving toward that. I'm better than I used to be, but I still got a long way to go. Someday, on that day, it's going to be carried through to completion. I'm going to finally be what I'm supposed to be. I look forward to that day. Now, if you get the then and there figured out, it will give you the motivation to live the here and now. You get that? If we get the then and there right, we're going to get the here and now right. God has made promises to you that he's going to fulfill. He's going to fulfill every one of them. And that's the motivation. And in all reality, it's pretty terrific. The Bible talks about the day. I call it God's tomorrow. It's coming. And what's going to be like is, there's going to be, oh, two things I'll tell you. There's going to be a new world, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. It says this, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. This world's a broken place, man. This is a place of war and sickness and death. Boy, he's being positive today, isn't he? Doesn't that just make you feel good when I say that? But it's true, okay? It is. The world is beautiful and ugly all at the same time. God is going to deal with that in the physical world by remaking it someday. A new heaven and a new earth. We're looking forward to a world where these things do not exist. Where John could write in Revelation, and God will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more mourning or crying or death or pain. The old things have passed away. I mean, that's the new world that you and I are moving toward. Boy, I look forward. You know what? It's going to be, I've said it before, but I cannot imagine not struggling with me. Can you imagine that it's going to be an incredible time? And so the lion's going to lay down with the lamb, the prophets tell us. We wait for that new world. Not only is there going to be a new world, there's going to be a new you, a new me. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is this wonderful statement, and we shall be changed. Remember that song? And I'll be changed from this creature, Lord, that I am. None of us, if we told the truth, would have very pretty stories to tell about ourselves. We all struggle still. Someday, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed in two ways. We're going to be changed, first of all, just go over a few pages to 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Get this. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, that's the great day when he returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be changed. I mean, the me is going to be changed, finally. In fact, that's what Gary Chapman wrote a song. When finally I look into your eyes and see reflections of yourself in me, the way I always hoped it would be. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, we're looking forward to that. A new world and a new me, and I'm going to become what I'm supposed to be. That's going to be incredible. Well, there's one other thing, too. Do you know we're getting new bodies? Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the incredible resurrection chapter that Paul gave us. Let me read this to you. I'm going to start reading at verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that is die, but we will all be changed. There it is again. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. That means we'll be changed. Our bodies will be changed to eternal. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? It's beautiful and true. We're going to get these new bodies. I'm going to read to you Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Get this. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to put everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Man, finally, no more diets. Gah. And everything else we struggle with our bodies. Let me read you something. I found the most amazing statement in Isaiah chapter 25. The prophets long ago told us that our bodies were going to be changed. We know that Job said this, that I know that my Redeemer lives, and that one day he will stand on the earth, and I will see him with this eye, not another. We see that. Well, Isaiah talked about it. Listen to this. Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the mountain of Zion, that's the place where Jesus died too, right? On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. What kind of a festival is that about? What is so incredible to be celebrated? Well, here it is. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Here's where John got his statement. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. Remember when Adam and Eve ran away from the Lord said, don't do that. Don't eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. If you do, you will surely die. Adam ate it and he kept standing there. He didn't drop dead, but he began dying. From that moment on, that curse is going to be removed forever from us. A new world, a new you and me. It's going to be an incredible and wonderful time. So, God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. The tomorrow that God promises gives us motivation to live today now. How am I going to get through tomorrow? What am I going to do with these struggles within me? I'm going to focus on what God has promised me and will do. He's doing this. Since he will do it, it's going to change my today and the way things work out, the way I live. First of all, if we hold on to it, it will guide us. I'm going back again to 2 Peter, and I'll read you this little section again, just this verse 11 and 14. Get this. In light of all of this, he keeps saying in 2 Peter, as you look forward to this, it changes. Get this. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be holy. You live godly and holy lives. Look at verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. The hope causes us to change the way we live. It guides us. It helps us to try. I'm not good at trying. How about you? Discipline works for a while. We've got to have more than that when we are amazed at what God is going to do for his people, I'm telling you, there's motivation to do the right thing. You know, I remember Eric, when he met Rasha, something changed. When they fell in love and he asked her to marry him and she said yes, because of that future, his whole life changed. No other girl could get a second look from him. He was going to be faithful to her. He was motivated by that future of knowing he was going to be with her, that was his girl. They were going to build a life together in the future. That future changed his now, his today. Well, it guided him and it'll guide us. It is so important. It helps us work toward what will last. Myron always says, use things and love people. Don't love things and use people. It's eternal. I mean, it'll guide us. I mean, it'll give us great guidance. Second of all, not only will it guide us, it'll guard us. There is this statement in verse 17. I'll read it to you. It goes like this. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. I mean, it'll guard us. It helps us have open eyes to lies that are out there. My brother, the rich one, he just retired, I told you. You know what he's been doing for years? Moving toward his future, knowing that he had to do this today in order to help him in this life that was coming. And he had all kinds of temptation. He wanted to buy all kinds of new cars. He wanted to go on all kinds of exotic trips. But he realized, no, I'm headed towards something else. And he focused on what he was going to be doing living on the lake in a few years. And today, he's there. It guarded him from doing a bunch of dumb stuff. And then last of all, not only does it guide us and guard us, it grows us. It says at the end of Peter's statement in 2 Peter chapter 3, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It'll grow us. You're never done growing, you know that, right? You never are. All of us are living a life that's like a garden. It was last night. I was out on the deck. Deb and I were on the deck, and Ann Ronk next door, Mrs. Perfect, not Mr. Perfect, Mrs. Perfect, was out in her perfect garden, and she grows a beautiful garden. But you know what she does to grow that properly? She has to, first of all, plant the right stuff in it, and then she's got to pull all the wrong stuff out of it, right? If you want to grow in the grace, that's how good he is to us, and the knowledge, our understanding of it. Well, in the garden of our lives, we have to plant the right stuff. And what is that? The scriptures. What does he say? That he loves you. That he's taking you with him. That he's going to get you home before it's dark. That he will never let you go. That no one can pluck you out of his hand. Plant those things in your garden. And then as those other things kind of creep up, all those negative thoughts, all those difficult things, all those things that people will say to us that seem to haunt us through the years, isn't it interesting? You know, positive thoughts and, you know, encouragement really helps us. But other stuff, you know, negative statements to us, hurtful statements, those things seem to live, don't they? They have a life of their own. We got to keep pulling those things out of our garden and throw them in the ash heap of our lives. Throw those things away. My friend Dan has had knee surgery, so he's ripped and all that, but he has trouble with stairs still. So I go down and get the table and chairs and bring them up to the living room. And there's this writing on their basement wall. Their kids are all gone and married and have children and all that. But they're the measurements from their lives. Barrick, 4 years old. Trisha, 6. Barrick, 21. You know, Trisha, 24. Whatever. They got all the way up to wherever they moved out, whenever they got married. God's got a growth chart for each of us, and he wants us to grow. But listen, cling to his promises for you. Cling to the incredible confidence and hope that we have of beyond this world, the world that he is going to create, the change that's going to come over us. It's not going to be like this forever, you guys. So as you look for motivation, that's the place to look. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on and stand up. Lord, here we all are. You know what we need. And I ask that you'd help each of us. Lord, some of my friends here are facing some pretty difficult things this week. I think of the guy that doesn't know if his job's going to be there tomorrow. I know the girl that doesn't know if her husband's going to be there tomorrow. You know all these things. We offer them to you, Lord, and we ask that you would give us strength and help as we walk through this now and now. May we, the here and now, may we be motivated by the then and there. Lord, we look forward to your coming. We look forward to you changing this world into what you intend. Lord Jesus, thank you that you proved it all true by your own death and resurrection. Thank you that your first and second coming are spoken of in several same paragraphs within the Old Testament. Thank you, the first part is fulfilled. We wait for that second part to come. Bless your people, encourage us, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.